From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. My name's Landon Kleindorfer. With me, Sergeant Matt Ames. Thank you so much for coming over here and coming on the show.
Well, thanks, Landon. Thanks for the invite.
Go ahead and sort of introduce yourself for people who don't know. I'm sure your name pops up a lot in the local community, but just a brief introduction.
I'm Sergeant Matt Ames. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Putnamville State Police Post, and our post geographically has six counties here in our area, with Clay County being one of them. Clay County, Putnam County, Vigo, Park, Vermilion, and Sullivan County. Our major responsibilities, of course, are Interstate 70, making sure that we're responsible for enforcing all the criminal laws and traffic laws here in the state of Indiana.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on, like I said. And one topic I really want to tackle today, not to sound too ominous, but winter is coming. That means a lot for both the police, for people around the area. But first of all, what does that mean for you guys? What is something that you're sort of preparing for when it comes to winter time?
Number one, our district commanders already notified everyone that, hey, if we got bad weather coming in, everyone will be on duty during those times, so we're there to provide a service. But with the winter weather coming in, the most important thing is to start preparing now. Now, granted, it's been pretty nice right now. We're not going to have a white Christmas this year. But as next week, when winter season actually opens up, number one, make sure that your vehicle is prepared and ready to go for the winter. That's one thing that we like to get out there. And what do we mean by that? Number one, make sure you got good tires on your vehicle. Make sure that your battery's fully charged and it's ready to go. You have good windshield wipers, and you got some washer fluid to go along with that. But there's other items that you can take and place in your vehicle too. Number one, you want to put some extra blankets in there, some coats, stocking caps, and some gloves, and make sure that you have a cell phone, a charger in there with you, so that way, in case you do get stranded out there for a while, whether or not you're waiting for an accident to be cleaned up, or if you get run off the roadway, you're able to wait for the arrival of emergency personnel and the police.
Yeah, and I've always been told, for the last few years, always have a go bag, something
exactly.
That you can just have in there in case you do get stuck, because you never know how long that process is going to take, especially if you're on some sort of rural road. There's a lot of those around here.
That's true. And the way we always tell, trooper never gets hungry and never gets cold. So we always make sure we have a little snack bag in there with us in case we get hungry throughout our tour duty. And we just have that just in case we're out there for an extended amount of time with an accident. As people know, there's a bad accident that occurs on Interstate 70. One of the very first things we do is we start diverting traffic off, comes on US 40, and it comes right here into Brazil. And we know that causes a lot of chaos, but we're trying to get that cleaned up as quickly as we can up on the interstate. So when you see that happen, you can follow us at ISP Putnamville on Facebook and also on Twitter. And that's when you maybe want to start taking the back roads coming into town here.
Now, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it does seem like right now, the last, 2 months, 3 months, I-70's had a lot of issues. There's been some crashes,
yes,
and some shutdowns, so that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot.
It's going to be icy roads coming up.
Yes, and for some reason, we've been having a lot of semi-fires on the interstate. And when a fire happens, we got to shut everything down because you just don't know, number one, what kind of load is the semi have in it. And, of course, getting in with the fuel and getting more fire there. And it takes the fire department a long time to get that out because there's just stuff that they have to go through. And then as oxygen hits the fire, then it reignites and they just have to continue to put water on it and the soap on it to try to get it extinguished out as quickly as possible.
And I have wondered, like you mentioned, that is something that's occurred more frequently than I feel like I've seen in years past. What would it be that, causes those types of issues?
Usually when we talk to the drivers, it's some type of mechanical problem with their turbo that short circuits and it causes a fire. The other day I worked a car fire where the lady was just traveling down the road. All of a sudden she says, well, my temperature gauge went up and then I heard a pop. And the next thing she knows is that her vehicle's on fire. So, but if that does occur to you, number one, you want to get off the roadway as far as you can. Make sure you exit the vehicle and don't try to stay in the vehicle and just leave whatever in the vehicle. Leave it. It's not worth us saving at that time.
Yeah, the car was getting warm and all of a sudden it got real hot.
It did get real hot.
That's basically what happened. Not just do we have weather coming, but also holidays and a lot of people either traveling, going different places. There's a lot of money being spent. Whenever it comes to travel, do you advise don't post it? Obviously we have a lot of people probably just sort of sitting on social media. Oh, well, such and such is out of town. And I feel like that happens a lot.
That does happen a lot. And believe it or not, there's people that are out there, they're fishing the entire time. They're looking at Facebook. They're looking at Instagram. They're looking at Twitter or X to see what's out there and see whether or not you're gone from your residence. If you're going to go and you're going to have a great time and go on vacation somewhere or visiting with family and friends, you know, once you get home, hey, go ahead and post all those photos and said, hey, we got to see Uncle Susie and Uncle Dick here today. It was a great time and family got together and post your family photos and all that stuff because everyone loves to see what everyone's family's doing out there. But the smart thing is to do is not post that on your social media until you get home. So that way, unless that way you got someone there at your residence the entire time. And, you know, like you were saying there earlier, unfortunately, this is the time of season where we unfortunately get the porch pirates that come out into the local areas. We have individuals and we have had worked cases where people just follow the FedEx truck or they're following the UPS man and woman, following them into the subdivisions and watching them drop off. And then 2 minutes later, they're attempting to get ready to take the packages off there. We ask for people just to make sure that you're watching when your delivery of your packages are hitting your porch. If that occurs, make sure you're taking it off immediately or you have a next door neighbor or a family member doing it. If you're not going to be there for an extended amount of time, you may want to change where that package is being delivered to, have it delivered to your work, have it delivered to another family member, someone that's going to be able to get it right away. The most important thing is we want to make sure that you're going to receive the package that you're paying for and not someone else out there is just having a Christmas themselves trying to open up packages. They're like, oh, look what I got brand new here.
Exactly.
So.
Well, you've been around for a lot of these holiday seasons mm-hmm. in this area. I mean, how much more helpful has it been since, you know, the Ring cameras and things like that? I feel like we see a lot of those videos on social media where those porch pirates are getting caught basically immediately because of those cameras.
That is very helpful. You know, I live in a subdivision where everyone in the community has interlink and they will post the photos of the people that are doing that on throughout the community. And it helps us out and it helps us be able to open up an investigation and be able to get someone apprehended rather quickly. You know, the most important thing is when you live in a small community, you know who's coming in and out of your neighborhood normally. If you see a vehicle that's there that's just like, hey, that just looks a little odd, we would want you to call 911 immediately, report that. We want to be more proactive than reactive and allow us to be able to follow that individual through the neighborhood, see what kind of operations they got going on and see where or not they actually need to be there. One other thing that you can do is make contact with your delivery personnel and advise them, say, hey, can you put the package at the back of the house so it's not being seen on front? Have them, you can get a lockbox for them to be able to put it in the lockbox or just have them hide it on the porch behind a pillar or something like that so it's not observed just by someone driving by or walking by your residence.
So overall crime, I mean, it's getting colder outside. Obviously, it's a cold day today. It's going to continue to be like that as well. Is that something that deters more crime? Like, do you see the crime numbers dip or raise based on temperatures and weather and things like that as winter comes through?
It does start to die down a little bit during the winter times. We do see a little bit more uptick in drinking and driving. I was just reading a report where one of our troopers arrested an individual that was almost four times the legal limit last night with the BAC. And, you know, we're going to have extra patrols out this entire time. The state police works with other local law enforcement agencies along with the sheriff's department to make sure that we're providing a safe roadway. If you're going to go to a party and you're going to get with friends and family and you're going to consume alcoholic beverages, make sure that you're planning ahead of time so therefore you're making good, coherent decisions. And you're making sure that you're either going to use an Uber, a Lyft, or some type of ride sharing to get home, or whether or not you're going to be the designated individual for that evening. If you're going to host a party, we ask them to make sure that you just also provide beverages of water, Coke, other non-alcoholic beverages that an individual can partake and just be at the party and be able to watch over everyone.
And you talk about that uptick, obviously, it being the holiday season, a lot of people going back to their hometowns. We've already passed one of those sort of high quantity drinking days. The day before Thanksgiving is one of those big days.
Friendsgiving?
Friendsgiving. but also Christmas Eve has to be probably one of those big days as well.
It is one of the bigger days. That's when a lot of people, before they're going to go see their family, they go out and see their friends and they go to the bars and they start visiting with each other. You know, the best thing we want to do is make sure that you're making your recommendations or making your accommodations to get home safely, so you're having a Christmas dinner with your family, and you're not locked up behind the local jail cells.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be such a great holiday gift to your family if you're locked up.
No, I don't think mom, dad, or grandma, grandpa are going to be very excited about that.
So for you specifically, with the winter weather coming and, you know, the preparations and making sure that everybody's doing what they need to do, what does it look like for you in this the month of December going into the new year?
We've already set up and had our meetings with NDOT talking about the big yellow trucks when they're out there on the roadway. For me personally, we're just trying to broadcast out there about getting your stuff or your vehicle ready to go. Make sure that when you see the yellow truck that you're not around that vehicle very closely. Allow them to be able to put their abrasives down and make sure that they're taking the ice off the roadway and the snow off the roadway, and give them plenty of room to do that. And, you know, the most important thing is when ice does get on the roadways, the very first thing it's going to freeze is going to, of course, be the bridges out there. Make sure that you're reducing your speed. And we always say this, you know, the road conditions is what dictates how fast we travel out there. Just because it says 70 mile an hour on Interstate 70 or here on US 40, it says it's 55 mile an hour. If there's ice on the roadways and there's snow on the roadways, you need to reduce your speed and make sure that you're driving appropriately for the road conditions. One of the most funniest things we have every time that we have a slide off where someone goes off the roadway, and we walk up to them and say, "Hey, are you okay?" Of course, that's the first thing we say. And usually the response is, "I just don't know what happened." Well, it's really simple. You're traveling too fast for the road conditions. So just make sure you're driving appropriately. And of course, not driving while distracted. And of course, make sure that you're buckled up along with everyone else that's in the vehicle with you.
What would you say? I mean, obviously it's got to depend on the person and their sort of driving abilities, but I mean, for you personally, what you've seen, what would you say are those sort of where they should drop that down if there are icy roads, not necessarily snowy, but just kind of an icy road situation?
You know, you said a very important thing there. You said, depend upon an individual's driving capabilities. Number one, there's all types of different vehicles out here. A lot of people drive four-wheel drive vehicles, and they think that that's going to allow them to get to wherever they want to be able to go. We got young drivers out here that are brand new, just getting ready to drive. I remember when I was 16 years old, and it was time to go to school and had the first snow. My mom's like, "Oh, I don't think you need to be driving today." And my dad's like, "They're only going to learn one way." So it's just a different mentality that people have. I would say on an average, if you start to see ice on the roadway, that's very unpredictable, especially when it's black ice. You need to be reducing your speed at least 15 miles an hour. And as you're coming up to a stoplight or a stop sign, make sure that you're reducing a lot earlier than what you normally would to make sure that you can get stopped in time and that you're not rear-ending someone.
Well, I can tell you, whenever I was, you know, about the same age, a little bit older, just coming home from college, we lived off the highway. I went off to the side to turn, and we were the first house. I ended up sliding, missing the stop sign, going through our own front yard, getting back on the road and parking it. The next day, my mom was like, "Well, somebody drove through our front yard." And I said, "Well, you can't tell dad, but little secret, that was me."
That's true.
So, yes, it is completely, you know, make sure that you're driving, have those speeds down, especially in those situations with highways. We've got a lot of highways that go through this Wabash Valley area. When you're getting off the side of the road, that side road isn't used very often, so it might be a little bit more slick. You need to play that by feel and really slow it down.
That is true. You know, one of the things we always tell people, you know, if you start to feel the back of your vehicle going to the right, then you need to steer towards the right. If it's going to the left, steer towards the left, and then don't hit the brake all of a sudden. Just let off the accelerator, let the vehicle catch back up to itself, and then slightly pressing your brakes, so therefore you can get slowed down a little bit more.
I've watched a lot of dirt drag racing. I think that it's very similar. You know, you turn left to go right, but it's the opposite, you know?
It is.
But that's very good advice. And I think we see that a lot. People just kind of immediately reacting one way or the other.
Yeah.
And that's really where they cause a lot of the issues.
It is when you cause the issues, and that's usually when you're doing a 180 or a 360 and you're running off of the roadway. And then you got to call a tow truck or a police officer for a crash report.
So past the holidays, obviously not only is Christmas coming up and people going and visiting their family, but also the new year's coming in, 2024. Are there any changes or anything that people need to be mindful of as we go into 2024?
No, we're still just going to be enforcing all the laws that everyone's aware of right now. One thing we do want to talk about, though, is that the Indiana State Police will be starting accepting applications for our 86 recruit class starting January the 5th. You can follow us at, you know, like I said earlier, at ISB Buttonville. You'll see the news link on that, and you'll be able to apply online for that. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me. We'll be able to answer your questions and get you steered in the right direction, getting an application filled out.
What's that process like? I mean, as far as going through that?
It's a very lengthy process. There's a physical fitness test that you take a written examination, background investigation, polygraph, psychological evaluation, a medical examination as well. It goes through the entire process. And then once you get through that, it'll go to a board for the state police, and the superintendent, along with his majors, will sit down and decide what names are going to be accepted. And we're trying to have a class of at least anywhere between 60 to 70 possible candidates to apply to be in this next coming class.
And how many people typically make it through that and then actually, you know, stick to it? Because, I mean, that's a pretty large number, it seems like.
It is a large number. Back when I was 28 years ago trying to be a state trooper, there was over 8,000 applicants that went through. For my class, we took 80. We currently have a class, 85th class, is getting ready to graduate on December the 21st, which we do have a local Clay County resident, Caleb Cannon, and will be graduating in that class. We started with 47 individuals in that class, and we're going to be graduating 30. People just need to realize that, you know, going through just any police officer, depending upon who you work for, we got to make very strong decisions at a very quick time. There's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure that's put on you as you're going through the academy. But our academy, we're going to teach you how to shoot straight. We're going to teach you how to drive fast. First day, we're going to teach you criminal law, traffic law, everything that you need to be able to come out and be able to be a trooper out here and provide a service for the public. And then once you graduate from that, you get assigned a district, and then you have a three-month field training program that you go through that's very extensive. And then towards the end of that, that's when you're presented your brand new patrol car.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Is there anything else that you'd like people to know as we go through December? Anything that's pertinent or that, you know, people need to be aware of?
We just want to encourage everyone to have a safe and happy holiday this year. Make sure that you're staying buckled up and you're driving at the right speeds and you're not driving while distracted.
All right. Sergeant Matt Ames, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program broadcasts Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM. And on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community. My name's Landon Kleindorfer.